I greet you in the name of God the Father, who loves you and keeps you safe in the care of Jesus Christ. May it be that we receive mercy, peace, and love. A happy new year to each one of us this morning. It's wonderful to worship. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. It's wonderful to worship God at the start of a new year. It's wonderful to be in His house to worship and glorify Him. Then I would also like to warmly welcome Reverend Robbie Hamilton, his wife Carol, and then Carol's mom Eunice. They are good friends of us and also have been part of our support network for the last couple of years. Their support to us entailed encouragement and motivation during the good and the difficult times. It is wonderful that Robbie will be taking part in the service today. Robbie, Carol, and Eunice, we are very, very glad that you are with us this morning. We are looking forward to having a meal with you after the service. Over to you, Margaret.
Good morning. The intimations for this week, well, for a couple of weeks, can I just say, the Little Red Riding Hood panto that took place on Thursday night, thanks to everybody that came along, it was absolutely fantastic. The turnout we had, it was great. And the kids absolutely loved it. So it's been a huge success, and hopefully we'll do it again later in the year. Next Sunday we'll be celebrating Holy Communion. I thought I'd emailed everybody with their duties, our elders, but I don't think I maybe have, because we had a wee issue in the manse, so we've been dealing with that. So you will get an email with your duties for next week. The flower box will be available at the end of the service this morning, and the Guild meet back on Monday the 9th of January at 7 o'clock. I think it'll be in the small hall, and it's a fish and chip night, so you can look forward to that. Mainly music will be back on the Tuesday the 10th, that's a week on Tuesday, and Jigsaw returns on the 15th, at Sunday the 15th, and the cafe's open after worship, as you say. Okay, thank you.
Our call to worship. O Lord, our Lord, Your majestic name fills the earth. Our Lord, our Lord, Your majestic name fills the earth. Our Lord, our Lord, Your majestic name fills the earth. Let us worship God by singing our first hymn, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord, hymn 189. Let us approach God and pray together. Lord our God, your wonder and your majestic name fills the earth. We become still in your presence to pray and to worship you. We approach you in prayer to utter words of delight. It is delightful to be here worshiping you with the angels in heaven. It is wonderful to be in this place of worship in the new year. The earth in its whole declares your strength and your power. You are everlasting, Lord. Even though you are all-powerful, you still know us. You still care for us. For this we are humbled. For this we give honor to you. We praise you, Lord. Lord, we praise you. We think in your presence of the light that came in Christ, dispelling the darkness of our hearts. In this light, Lord, we examine ourselves and we confess our sins. Lord of grace and truth, we confess our unworthiness to stand in your presence as your children. We have sinned. Forgive and heal us. Forgive our disobedience to your will. Forgive our greed and rejection of your ways. Forgive our self-interest and lack of vision. Forgive our reluctance to seek you. We have sinned. Forgive and heal us. Unto us a son was born, revealing that light of forgiveness for us and to us. In that light that is all too consuming, we embrace your forgiveness, we embrace your love, as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us sing about that boy. Unto us a boy is born. Let us sing about the Lord Jesus being born to us in this season. We will be singing hymn 331, Unto us a boy is born. Who needs help this morning? I've got this urge in me to help someone. Who needs help? I really want to help someone. Is there someone that needs some help? Can I randomly help someone? Do you think that will work? Just help someone. No, well, it's not a very good strategy at all just to start helping someone. If you want to help someone, you first need to identify a need. Okay, you first need to identify someone that needs help. And that what's then very important, if you have identified someone that actually really do need help, you need to ask yourself, do I have the capability of helping that person? Now, if a farm, something in the farm breaks, okay, a tractor, for example, the wheel needs to be fixed, you do not call me. Because I have no skills at all in fixing a tractor or an implement. You call someone else because I do not have that skills to help that farmer to fix his tractor. What I'm very good at is listening. So if you need, you know, you can identify someone who needs help in that someone just needs to listen to that person, you give me a call. Okay, so what's important when it comes to helping is first you need to identify help. Okay, and you need to ask yourself, do I have the skill set to help that person? If you don't, what you can maybe do is you can find out in your community who can fix a tractor's wheel. Okay, I don't actually know who I need to call when that happens. Do you know? Okay, maybe you should give me the number of that person. So that's very important. And if you that two aspects is in line, something can happen, something beautiful can happen, or you can be actually quite relevant and help that person with the problem. Now the question our reading is stating or asking us today is, what is the driving force behind helping and supporting one another? What is the engine, the mode in which we help? Let's say we've identified the need. Let's say we have the skill set to help that person. But what is the driving force? What is the engine? Okay, what is the engine? And this, I can think of three aspects of what the driving force can be. The first one is a toxic one, a one that I would try to avoid yourself and also identify someone if that person is that way, is when you are self-glorification. If you honor yourself in such a way that you think you're Superman and you can save the world, and with that sort of attitude you go and help that person. So you think you, is this mode and this engine of saying, well, oh, I'm so great, look at my biceps, I can save the world, and then you go and help someone. Okay, be careful when you identify that in yourself and identify that with someone else. The other way of the mode is a humanistic way. That is the sense of you want to help someone for the sake of the human person, for the human being, for nature. So you've got the sense of, you know, that person needs help. He's a person like myself, therefore I will help him. So the focus becomes the person and not yourself. So the first mode is yourself, and the other mode is the other person. Our reading is saying to us today that these two aspects is not really in the Christian framework. In the Christian framework, what is the engine, the mode, is Christ. When we help someone, when we identify a need and we help that person, the mode, the engine, is that we do it unto Christ. Christ is our mode. Christ is the engine to which we do something. The reading states this quite clearly. It says, if you do good to my brother and sisters, you do it directly unto me, Jesus. And that is the mode, the energy wherefrom we help people. To help people as a Christian is to become aware of the holiness of God. And when you're aware of the holiness of God, from that awareness, you go out and you help people. So it's totally different from the first one where you self-absorbed, and the other aspect where you are just focused on the people and the nature and things around you. So our reflection in our sermon will continue on this point of Christ is our motivator to help people. Christ is our engine to where we help and support one another. Amen. Audrey, I can't remember the next hymn. Oh yes, it's quite relevant. Brothers, sisters, let me serve you. Hymn 694.
Good morning. And it's nice to be in Forth. This is our very first time in Forth. I've never ventured down this road before. That's not to say that I haven't heard of Forth. I have. I grew up in Ayrshire and went to University of Edinburgh, so very often a journey back to university or back home was along the A71. So I saw the signpost to Forth often. I never thought of coming down the road. But I heard of it because I also knew somebody who grew up in Forth. And I've spoken to some people already. Married named Thompson. A lot of Thompsons in this area, I believe. But Morag Thompson studied with me at university. Morag grew up in the village. She married George from Brayhead, yes, George or Geordie from Brayhead. So we had the pleasure of getting to know them. And although I've not been in Forth, I've been in Carnwath a lot because we enjoyed their friendship and their hospitality before Morag went up to Strathpeffer. But sadly, Morag died only 5 years into her ministry. But I think we've now got a contact with George. So we're going to get a telephone number because we lost contact with George. So that's an aside. But it just shows you that we've never been here before, but there are already connections. And that's what Scotland's like, and that's what the Church of Scotland is like. And of course, I'm here today because of our connection with the Bosch family, and especially with Eckhart, who has been with us at the New Well Wind in Airdrie for 2 years. 2 years he's been with us. He's endured me as his supervisor bishop for 2 years, and I'm delighted to be here the first Sunday of the year, a new beginning, and a new beginning in Eckhart's ministry, in family life as well here in Forth. And I can sense already that Eckhart is settling in well, and I can sense already the warmth of your welcome, which has been extended to us, but I know has been extended to the family, and we sense that. Eckhart spoke about driving force, and what is his driving force? It's a very strong sense of call to the Church of Scotland ministry, and that I've seen grow and develop over the past 2 years. Driving force from that call of ministry is a love for God and a love for God's people. And again, I've seen that grow and develop in the New Well Wind. And poor Eckhart was dropped in the deep end when I told him at the beginning of the year that I had been diagnosed with esophageal cancer and didn't know what the journey was going to be for me. So chemo, major surgery, chemo, and here I stand, having got through it. And hopefully esophageal cancer is now behind me. But poor Eckhart had to then become het. And for 4 or 5 months, he was the minister at New Well Wind, which is a big church in the centre of Airdrie. And so that sense of call, that sense of love for God and love for people, was seen and experienced as he didn't have me breathing down his neck for 4 or 5 months. So I'm delighted that you've got Eckhart, you've got Brazil, you've got Laura Lee, you've also got mother-in-law as well. You've got Marlene here too, who has been here to offer help and support. So I'm delighted to be able to introduce Eckhart to you. And one of the things that I want to do is that we had a member of the congregation who moved to Bothwell. He moved up in the world. He moved to Bothwell. And Alec was a Church of Scotland minister. He was the Presbytery Clerk of Glasgow, Alec Cunningham. He also crafts wood. And he's made this home communion set, which is gifted to Eckhart. And the small glasses, there's a bottle there for the wine. Make sure it's the best stuff that he brings. None of the sugar alley water that you sometimes get in the kirk. But he's crafted this, and I'm delighted to gift this set to Eckhart with the blessings of his friends, his sisters and brothers at the New Well Wind, and wish him every blessing in his ministry here.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you.
But there's one other thing before. He always knows that I get up to things, you know, that I'm always up to something. And when I heard that Laura Lee's name was Laura Lee, a tune came to mind. Because Laura Lee, that was the name given to sirens, you know, women who dragged sailors off their ships in Germany. And so a song was written, beautiful song, and I've written a blessing to it as a gift to the family, and we're going to sing that blessing to you today. With joy in our hearts we now gather, God's children made one in his love. We seek as a family his blessing to rest upon us from above. May God the Father uphold us, his Son guide us all of the way, the Spirit within to inspire us today and tomorrow. Amen. But today, I'm going to invite you. You can use this whenever you want, but when we get to the second part, uphold you, because we're singing it to you and your ministry and as a family. And poor Audrey's been dropped in it as well.
Uphold you.
We'll just remain seated for it. We'll sing it twice, and hopefully we'll all know by the end of it, including me. And I wrote it, so. Okay.
With joy in our hearts we now gather, God's children made one in His love. We seek as a family His blessing to rest upon us from above. May God the Father uphold us, His Son guide us all of the way, the Spirit within to inspire us today and tomorrow. Amen.
We'll try it again. Let's go for it.
With joy in our hearts we now gather, God's children made one in His love. We seek as a family His blessing to rest upon us from above. May God the Father uphold you, His Son guide you all of the way, the Spirit within to inspire you today and tomorrow. Amen.
There you go. And you know, that's the first that's ever been used. So there you go. You've been part of our first, so thank you and every blessing. And now, I'm meant to do the reading, so I better do that now. Our first reading is from the Psalms, and Psalm number 8. And it's in celebration of divine majesty and human dignity. And I've got to that age and stage where I take my glasses off to read. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them, that you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And then we turned to Matthew. Matthew chapter 25 and at verse 31. A comforting yet challenging story of Jesus, focusing on the judgment of the nations and really bringing to life what it means to love God and to love each other. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep at His right hand and the goats at the left. Then the King will say to those at His right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those in his left hand, you that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Amen, and thanks be to God, and may he bless to us these readings from his holy word, and to his name be praise, honour and glory.
It is 1 week after Christmas. The celebrations of the birth of the Lord Jesus are still fresh in our minds. The feeling of excitement for the light breaking through darkness is still alive in our memory. Any birth is about a new beginning. The birth of Jesus is about a new start, a new covenant from God to us. A new start and a new beginning gives the opportunity to start afresh. The first day of the year, New Year, also brings the opportunity to start anew. From today, we have the opportunity to reassess our lives and to start anew. A fresh white canvas to draw a picture on is exciting, but can also create a feeling of nervousness. Even though one can be excited or even nervous about a new start, it does still give an opportunity to realign our lives. It gives an opportunity to rethink, even though there's some feelings of nervousness or feelings of excitement. I do think it's important to realign our lives. I do think it's important to reassess our lives as we move forward. Life needs to be contemplated. The Matthew reading helps us to rethink and to reassess our approach to life. But more importantly, it helps us reconsider our understanding of God. The reading is not easy at all because it talks about separation. It talks about division. Jesus makes reference to keeping goats away from sheep and sheep away from goats. After having a conversation with a few persons here in St. Paul's and also with the people living here, I do get the sense and the impression that the community is part of this church. In other words, the church is connected to the town. It forms part of the identity, and to separate the church from the community will feel very unnatural. Such a world view makes the word separation, division, it sits uncomfortably with us. It's not easy for us to hear words like separation. It's not easy for us to hear words like keeping apart. Any division for us sounds strange. The Matthew reading is the last sermon of Jesus before the events leading to the death on the cross. For this very reason, it is important to take note of what Jesus is trying to say. It's important, the position of the sermon in the Matthew book, it's important to consider what Jesus is saying. Very simply put, the message is about when helping your brothers and sisters, we are directly helping Christ. If we help our brothers and sisters, we directly help Jesus. To help one another is to help Jesus. In essence, this is what Jesus says when he says the following: I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. To help one another is to help Christ. Christ identifies with the broken. Christ identifies with the broken. And to support the broken is to support Jesus. The scary part, however, is when we do not help our fellow brothers and sisters, then we also do not help Christ. For example, if we ignore the needs of a person in our church community, then we directly do the same to Jesus. This is the difficult part. The actions towards one another will determine if we have the kingdom of God or not. The actions that we have towards one another will determine if we have the kingdom of God or not. The beauty of this reading is that our actions towards one another will set us up for the kingdom of God. Isn't this beautiful? How we interact with one another determines if we will enter the kingdom of God. We are starting to create the kingdom of God right here where we are, by the way we interact with one another. Our interactions in our community, how we go about with one another, is vital in the larger picture of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God starts with us. It starts with us here at St. Paul's, here in Forth. The reason for such compassion and the reason for the way we go about with one another is because of the engine. The engine within us, and this engine is the Lord Jesus. Christ is the machine that is motivating our interactions with one another. Our interconnection with one another is motivated by God, by the love of God. Man and nature are not our focus, but rather our actions are driven by God. The holiness of heaven is the driving force behind our daily decisions and actions. The holiness of heaven is the driving force of our lives. In other words, we live life for Jesus. We live life for Christ. We do not live life for ourselves. We do not live for material possessions. We do not live to please others. We do not live for self-glorification. We live life for Christ. With a new year lying ahead and the celebrations of the babe still fresh in our minds, all this motivates us to reconsider our lives. It motivates us to realign our lives to the will of God. Even though it can cause nervousness, it does create the opportunity to rethink the purpose of our lives. What is our purpose here at St. Paul's? What is our purpose here in Forth? This time of the year symbolizes an opportunity for a fresh beginning. Considering our reading during this time makes us think about how we live life for Jesus. How do we live life for Jesus? How do we conduct our lives for the kingdom of God? How are our actions towards one another? How is that driving us? How is that making us aware of the holiness of God? Does our understanding of heaven motivate us to live now for one another? How we relate to one another is directly connected to our understanding of Jesus. How we understand Jesus, how we understand God, motivates how we interact with one another. When helping or supporting one another, we may become aware of the higher. We may become aware of the spiritual dimension. When helping one another, we can become aware of heaven itself. The connections with God informs our actions. To be compassionate as a Christian is not self-driven. To be a Christian, the energy of helping one another is not self-driven. The heart and the inner motivation are driven by Christ, is driven by the holiness of heaven. The heart and our inner motivation are driven by God. Christ informs our very core, leading towards goodness and to peace. Christ informs our very essence, leading towards goodness and to peace. The focus then is on the peace and the gracious goodwill that come to us through the birth of Jesus. The birth of Jesus inspires us to live peacefully and with grace. It is from this place that we live life to the full. It is from this place that we interact with one another. It is from that place that we enjoy life to the full. May we live life for Christ. May we proceed into 2023 with the holiness of Jesus, the holiness of heaven, as our foundation and our stability. Amen. Let's worship God. Let's worship and let's become aware of the holiness of heaven. We will be singing 303, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
Let us pray. Father God, we pray for all nations, leaders and governments. Give them wisdom that they will exercise integrity and work for justice, morality and freedom, guiding them through the difficult and challenging times in which we live. Our world is full of hurting families and nations torn apart by war and violence, and refugees fleeing to safety. We pray for peace and stability for everyone and your protection over them. We pray for our church as it moves through a time of change. We give thanks for bringing Eckhart to forth. May he be guided by you and fulfilled in his new chapter. We thank you for the presence of Robbie, Carol and Eunice. We are grateful that they are with us today. Bless them with your goodness and mercy. Sustain them with the love and goodness that only you can provide. May peace and vitality follow them every day of their lives. We pray for our community, family and friends, and the challenges they face through illness, despair, financial or food hardship. May they be calmed and find hope and peace from trusting in your love. We pray for those who have lost a loved one and are finding things particularly difficult at the moment. Grant them your peace. Encourage and strengthen us in the deep assurance of your precious promises, knowing you are always with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our offerings will now be received. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for these offerings. May we continue to give gladly so that your church will be rich and able to establish your kingdom with Christ as our King. May we use these money in a way that reveals the hope we can only find in you. Amen. Let us sing about that hope. Our next hymn will be 166, Lord of All Hopefulness. live life for Christ. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, may the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Amen.